listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, September 28, 2016. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And of course, Michael Kelly, producing the program behind the scenes and sometimes in front of the scenes.
Hello. Good evening, everyone.
We'd like to welcome those joining us in the live program tonight, as well as those listening to the archives. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. We have a number of educational programs that are part of the church. One of them is EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers the help for the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts. Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers. MetaphysicsInstitute.org, our flagship school that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical topics. And Thomas Francis University, which offers standalone courses and degrees at tfuniversity.org. As is customary, I would like to start with our abbreviated principles of belief. We have 9 principles of belief, and they are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. To learn more about these principles of belief in an expanded version, please visit our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. Now tonight, talking about a couple of different things, I'm going to talk about something, something I'm calling How to Make America and the World Great Again. Now, you probably have figured out that this is a play on the slogan of the Republican presidential candidate here in the U.S. And I want to talk about what it takes to make the world great again. And, you know, people can argue the again part. The fact is there's just a lot of great things about this planet. There's a lot of great things about this world. Unfortunately, the news carries all the not so great things as a rule. But there's still a lot of great things going on in this world, and we need to focus on those. We can't get overwhelmed with all the negatives and all the narcissists that are out there trying to ruin things. We have to keep perspective is what I'm trying to say. So let's talk about what it takes to make America and the world great, and I mean the world. You know, several years ago, I was on a paranormal investigation with a team and with my team, and we were in St. Petersburg, Florida. We were investigating this old firehouse, fire station, that had been sold, and it was no longer a fire station. It was being renovated into a home. But we had one of the team members knew somebody and the owner, and they allowed us to go in. And so we all went in and had an interesting evening doing it. But the one thing that I remember that stands out the most for me was not anything paranormal, but it was from a previous era. Frankly, you know, probably the first half of the 20th century, because in that firehouse, as they were, they, you know, it was all gutted and all that, but there were still some different materials there that had been in there. There were two doors that were off the hinges. You know, they were just leaned up against the wall. One door had printed on it whites. The other door had printed on it coloreds. And you know, when I saw that, my heart sank. I just, it was an instant thing. My heart just sank. I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, here is racism right here in front of me, and from a bygone era. And I'm thinking, you know, we've made so much progress. I mean, the civil rights movement here in the U.S. of the 60s, we got past that. You know, Martin Luther King did a lot of great work, and others. And, you know, hey, we've advanced. We've evolved. It seems. It seemed like we had. Until we get to the, you know, this presidential race. And now you see all of that negative crap coming out of the woodwork, you know. Racism, misogyny, narcissism, lying, things like that that are just coming out. And it's having, a surprising unifying effect among people of a bygone era who still adhere to racist notions. And it's surprised me. I like to have optimism with the human race, and I think there is grounds for optimism. I think as a race and as a species, I think we're moving in the right direction. Sometimes we have setbacks, and it seems like some of the stuff being said by a particular Republican presidential candidate just brings out, you know, the worst in some people. They feel like they, you know, that their ways, their rights are more important than anyone else's. And I love it when these people want to send other immigrants and nationalities home, or, you know, deport them, get them out of the country, when this country originally belonged to Native Americans, not European whites. And so they act like they have some kind of claim to this, some, you know, cosmic universal claim, when they don't. And the fact is, folks, the world is ours. We're all world citizens. You know, it's all ours. We need to get along. We need to play nice. And we need to refrain from racism, from misogyny, which is, you know, putting down women. We need to refrain from thinking too much of ourselves, being narcissists. We need to refrain from pathological lying. We need to refrain from homophobia. We need to get a clue and realize that religion has formed the basis for a lot of the hatred that's going on. And we need, and doing those things, being tolerant, doing no harm, doing the right thing, understanding that everybody's equal, those are all the things that make us as a race great. That's what makes us great. Not cleaning up people who want to come here for a better life. And I'm talking about the United States. There's immigration in all countries. And people are looking for a better life, and they have as much right to that better life as we do, no more, no less. And so, if you want the world to be great, be a part of that. And I know, and I'm preaching to the choir with a lot of you, because that's how you feel. And I've seen it. I've seen, we have a lot of students here, and I see it in the papers. I see it in your ambitions, your objectives, your goals, that you want to help other people. And that's a beautiful thing. That's what makes us great. Not hating. Not, you know, grade school bullying, not name calling. The things that makes us great are the things that should we should aspire to in terms of evolutionary growth, spiritual growth, becoming more enlightened, and understanding that this world is ours and we've got to get along. It's okay if people have different viewpoints. Just do no harm and do right. That's what's important. So, Let's be great. Let's make a decision to be great. Do the right thing. Do no harm. Be tolerant. Understand that we're all equal. We're one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. we're all trying to make the best life that we can for ourselves and our families. And we do have free will to the extent that it doesn't violate others' free will in an egregious way. We have to learn to get along. So don't pay too much attention to the negative crap you hear in the news being spouted by people who are not enlightened and those who would support them. And just focus on being the best version of you that you can be to the benefit of yourself, your family, and to all those whom you might serve and help. Any thoughts, Dr. Hunter?
Yeah. I don't think I should say them, though.
Okay. Well, I do have one thing that I'm a little upset about. I am upset because I understand now with some changes that I used to be an Aquarius and now I'm a Capricorn.
Yeah, it's bonkers, really. NASA decided that it's reconfiguring the constellations. Because of how the Earth tilted, when you look up in the sky, they decided that, constellations are different. So when we used to have 12 zodiac signs, we now have 13, everybody. So, and it turns out I'm not a Scorpio anymore. I'm a Virgo. And my friend Susan texted me today and she said, well, my first 61 years were as a Virgo, so I can coach you pretty well. It was pretty cute. But here's the thing, everybody. Listen up. This is just, I think, a silly thing. I don't think astrologers are going to change. NASA is into astronomy, not astrology, which is a different thing. But the sign that is entered into the 13 is spelled O-P-H-I-U-C-H-U-S. Now, I don't know how that's pronounced. Ophiuchus, perhaps? It comes between Scorpio and Sagittarius. So for anybody who's interested, I'm just going to run through these because Dr. Kelly says he's no longer what he thought he was, but neither are the rest of us. Anybody who's known themselves to be a Capricorn, well, you're only a Capricorn now if you're January 20 to February 16. That's right. So all you January folk only applies now after January 20. Aquarius is now February 16 to March 11. Pisces is March 11 to April 18th. Aries is April 18th to May 13th. Taurus, May 13th to June 21. Gemini, it's actually now starts in June 21 and ends in July 20. Cancer is July 20 to August 10, right into what we used to know as Leo. And Leo begins August 10 to September 16. Virgo is September 16 to October 30. That's where I fall in. Right there at the end of October. And Libra, October 30 now to November 23. Scorpio is November 23 to November 29. I think they screwed that up there somewhere. There's some dates missing. But again, Ophiuchus, whatever it is, November 29 to December 17, and Sagittarius has moved forward in the calendar, December 17 to January 20. So you can go to, if you just Google NASA, NASA Space Place is where it all started, but ArsTechnica.com, science, and anyway, it can give you all the dates. But if you Google it, you'll find it's running around the web. So I honestly don't think this is going to have any bearing to what we know of in astrology. I think what we have to also keep in mind is who made that stuff up in the first place, and where did the calendars get started, and who is... who's making this stuff up is what I'd like to know. But
yeah, really.
The sensibility of it is that we do have 13 moons in a year, 12 months. I'm more apt to go by, I'm a real fan of H. Spencer Lewis, the author. He was with the Rosicrucian Order his entire life. He wrote a book called The Cycles of Life, and we live in sevens. You think of 7 days of a year, there's 752-day cycles in a year. We go in, again, 7 times 7 is 49. And then when you turn 49 to 56, you begin another one cycle. So these sevens, we live this really interesting pattern of sevens all the time. And, you know, as our calendar is constructed, we also live in nines. And then 12s is another master number. So everyone has their own interpretation of what astrology is. We have to keep in mind that a chart is an impression in the universe, but oh, there's just so many planets to look at. So Zach just mentioned in the chat, they nixed 13 because it's bad luck. Like skyscrapers not having a 13th floor. Tell that to NASA, Zach. That's pretty funny.
Well, you know, now I know why my horoscopes never panned out for me. I was reading the wrong one.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't relate to Virgo at all. So I guess we just have to go on this little interesting ride. I feel, you know, for a moment when I heard all this and I was reading about it, I felt like I was in that Mandela effect again, you know, where, okay, reality is not what we thought. There's another time-space thing that just fell flat and merged with another reality. But
I call it switching, switching universes.
Yeah, well, something collapsed in the universe because that's just, but here we go. I mean, it was bound to happen, I think, at some point where somebody wanted to rewrite the zodiac. I have often questioned the zodiac myself. However, this has been written for thousands of years. The zodiac and those signs are nothing new. Constellations in the sky and all its different configurations, well, it does. It just goes back thousands of years. Now, our interpretations of them have changed. But now, I guess we have science to thank for a brand new constellation because our Earth tipped. You know, I guess it was always there. We just didn't see it. So really, what does that say then? Yeah, we got to use a little bit of critical thinking here. If it was always there, we didn't know it was there. We were working just fine without knowing about it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't do much of astrology either. All right, so we're going to be pulling cards here shortly. In fact, we're going to start asking for, if you'd like a card pulled, put your name in the chat, and Michael, maybe you can make a list, keep a list going of who's there. We're going to start with...
Well, we're going to start with Afra, one of our students who listens in the archives. She is in Belgium. You know, we have students from how many countries now?
Well over 60.
60, some. Afra's been with us for a little while now. She's motoring along in the program. We're really glad that you are catching the archives, Afra. I just pulled a card out of our Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards, and I pulled number 18. That's evolution. It's in the existential suit. So I'm going to read that to you, and as you feel it resonates with you, how you feel it applies. It's a really powerful message here, though. Evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort. But fear not. Personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, the entropy is lowered. So that's a pretty good card for you, Afra. And again, thanks for joining us in the archives, even if you can't be with us here live in the chat.
And that card also goes right along with what I was saying earlier about being, you know, making the world great again. And, you know, evolving, not just giving support to somebody who has ideas, but thinking for ourselves and not giving in to any kind of basis or claims or anything that hurts another person. We need to evolve as a species. We need to continue to evolve, and we are. All right, who's next?
I think, if I have this right, Michael, Fran is next.
Yeah, I believe Fran is next.
And well, if you don't...
I was going to say, I thought that might be coming, so I actually took the liberty of drawing a card, and I drew number 44, Attitude, Disposition. Enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive. Ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen.
Good card.
Yeah, I could just keep relating all these cards to everything I was talking about. You know, attitude and disposition, one of loving kindness and just being nice and not putting others down. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and having a healthy attitude and disposition is essential to a healthy evolution.
It is. Good point.
While you're there, Michael, Dr. Phyllis is with us and we'd like a card.
All right. And I have number 14, Energy Shift, New Chapter, in the Existential Soup. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new.
Good card. Changing pages in life. It's a good one. You want to pull one for Tabitha?
All right. I think I'm on a roll here. All right, Tabby. And I have... very nice. It's number 5, Law of Control. Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The Law of Control says that you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you are entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave. It's a great card. And frankly, I think a lot of politicians running for office could use that card and really dwell on it.
Let's not go there, Michael.
Well, yeah, but, you know, every one of these cards, I'm telling you, every one of them applies to what I was talking about making the world great again. Every one of these, we just have to put those into our attitude and our disposition. We have to make that part of our core values, that we not judge people. And we can do that in small ways, you know. Even driving, you know, stop with the road rage, stop with the judgment, stop with trying to make people drive the way you want them. And I say that as much for my own benefit as anyone else's, as Tracy probably looking at me, you know, smiling, saying, yeah, you say it. Anyway, but that's the ways we can do this and just give people a break. There are so many things going on in our lives that take our awareness and our distract us and all that. You know, everybody's trying to do the best they can with the knowledge, the experience, the resources, and the level of awareness they have at the moment. Most people do not scheme on how to hurt other people. They just don't. Most of the time, it's just carelessness or thoughtlessness or just being discourteous. We can strive to be more courteous, more thoughtful of those around us, and not to our own hurt, but in an equal win-win type of way.
We have Bridget next. Michael, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, absolutely. And I actually pulled this one out of the middle of the deck, but it's number 4, Past, Present, and Future.
Good one.
The three universal laws of personal responsibility are: 1. You are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2. Don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3. Don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
You know, and that's, I can comment on that too. You know, so many people in our world don't want to take personal responsibility for their own actions. They want to blame everything else. And here's the bottom line, folks. Every one of us is where we are because of the choices we have made as adults. That's just the long and the short of it. We are where we are because of the choices and decisions we've made as adults. If we want to be in a different place, no problem. Make different decisions, different choices. And if you don't want to make a choice, which a lot of people don't, that's fine. A choice will be made automatically for you by the universe, by default. The universe gives us lessons to learn. And, you know, in other words, we encounter lessons to learn on a daily basis. We come across situations, we have opportunities to learn lessons, and those opportunities are going to continue to arise. They're going to continue to come up until we learn the lesson, until we get it. Sometimes we have to get half knocked in the head before we, oh, yeah, that's a lesson to learn. And when we learn a lesson, we change. That's the key. We can know a lesson and not have learned it. But when we learn a lesson, we change. So if you're in a set of circumstances that you don't like, don't lose hope. You can change them. Make different decisions. Think about it. Think about what needs to change. Remember, adversity is nothing more or less than a state of disorder. We have adversity in our lives because the things in our life are in a state of disorder. If you put them back in their proper order, then the adversity leaves. It goes away because things are now in their proper order. So if you're not where you want to be, make different decisions and don't shirk responsibility. Don't blame it on somebody else. You know, we might blame it on our parents. Well, you know, if you're an adult, come on. Yeah, you know, we all have our stories to share about parents and so forth. But as an adult, we're no longer bound to that. We can start thinking for ourselves. We don't have to believe in something just because our parents said so. We're now adults. We can make our own choice and choose our own core values. And so we have no one else to blame but ourselves for whatever. And we have no one else to credit but ourselves for the good stuff that happens. So we can do that. So don't shirk that responsibility. We're where we are in life because of the choices we've made. And I want to comment on the other two aspects of that too. A lot of people expect others to do for them things they ought to be doing for themselves. They're takers. They ask and they take and they take. And we don't want to be that way. We don't want to expect other people to do our stuff. You know, if it's your responsibility, then you do it. You don't ask other people to do it. Now, I'm not talking about every situation out there. If you're an employer and you have employees, you're delegating, that's a whole different matter. We're not talking about that. We're talking about personal stuff. And the third one, which is, frankly, the definition of codependence, don't do things for other people that they could and should do for themselves. Now, that doesn't mean you can't do a nice. That's not what it means. It means don't practice doing things for other people that they ought to be doing for themselves, because you're enabling them to shirk responsibility. And that's codependence. You're assuming responsibility for them by making decisions for them and doing things for them, and that is not your right. So don't do things for people that they could and should do for themselves. Now, sometimes people should do something for themselves, but they just can't. They're not in a position to. Okay, fine. Help them. But this really comes into play, too, with addicts and alcoholics, that, you know, the codependence ends up doing all the stuff for them, which basically absolves them of any responsibility, and you can't do that. If they make a mess, they need to clean it up. We're all adults here. You know, we all have to play by the same rules. So Don't do things for the people that could and should do for themselves. Do not enable them to continue in an unhealthy manner. Just my 4 cents on that.
I would like to do another little promo, a couple of promos here, if that's all right. Our young Zach Frame has got a website, and I'm going to say this as quickly as I can, zacknframe.wixsite.com /theoptimist/blog. Zach is sharing his journey that potentially takes him to a stem cell transplant for his MS. He's very brave. He's very forthcoming. He's quite the character. I think you'll enjoy it, and at the very least, it's highly educational. And, Zach, we want to, again, thank you for that. I am plugging him all over Facebook, and because I'm a big fan, number one. He's had a heck of a road these last 11 years, and he keeps going. So, Zach, we're behind you 100%. The other thing is Dr. Angie's animal communication course will be up on the school sites in the not-too-distant future, I understand, Dr. Kelly.
Yeah, we're doing the finishing touches on it. So it will probably be ready for enrollment in the next week or so on TFU, Thomas Francis University. We'll look at bringing it to IMHS after that. And if you have an interest in that as an elective, then you just need to email me and let me know. So, but it's going to go first to Thomas Francis University, and then give it a week or so. It might be a week and a half, but somewhere in there.
Having read this entire course, 3 levels, I want to say it's really good. You did a great job, Dr. Angie, and thank you for that. A lot of thought in there, and it takes it far and above and beyond any other animal communication course that I have seen or heard people take. So I would encourage you to keep it on your list of checking things out. So Dr. Phyllis is saying, just a thought about parenting, don't make your kids do something just because they're too lazy to do it yourself. In the olden days, change the channel on the TV before the remote controls. That's funny. Sorry, we were talking about don't do for others what they ought to do for themselves. There's I just had to throw that in because this is the thing about, I think, in this day and age, if I can say this, we're very fearful for our kids. I got to tell you, I am for mine all the time, even though they're adults. My youngest is 30. But when they're young kids, people tend to be especially more afraid. And maybe there's reasons. We're an interesting society, that's for sure. The thing is, you do have to, you know, let go of the controls a little bit. You know, when we don't think twice about when a kid falls down, scrapes a knee, you tell them to get up and go again. That rule kind of applies in life. So, you know, keep that in mind, that encourage each other in a positive way to keep get up and go, whether it's your kids, your friends, you know, your colleagues, whomever that is just to keep going. Scrape a knee, put a Band-Aid on, and let's go.
And, you know, speaking of fear, Carolyn, our IMHS student, Carolyn DeBolt, wrote a really nice blog at One PC, One Planet Community. So if you're a member of that, you can go in and read. It's called Fear of Confrontation. It's well written, and she makes some great points. The point is that, and this is true, you know, we all have harbored fear in our lives, especially as children. We grew up with some various fears. Fear of confrontation is one of them. I mean, I had that. I was bullied in school a lot. And it's funny, you know, you come up through your 20s, your 30s, you still got the fears, and maybe even into the 40s, who knows. But at some point in your evolution, you finally realize that there's nothing to be afraid of, you know, that we're all entitled to our opinions, we're all entitled to our perspectives without judgment, even though some people will still judge us, but it doesn't matter. You just get to a point where you feel, you know what, it just doesn't matter. You think I'm an idiot, fine. You know, I don't care. You disagree with me, fine. No problem. I'm too busy making a positive difference in the world to worry about what anybody thinks of me. And of course, I'm talking about them esteem, you know, which is what Carolyn in her blog really talked about, even though she didn't mention that, but it was all about, you know, we do things because we want to feel accepted and other things like that. So if you've got that fear going on, regardless of your age, you've got to work on that. You've got to realize, you got to let it go, release it. There's no point. It doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter whether they agree with you. It doesn't matter even whether they accept you. And I don't care if it's family or friends or whoever. If they won't accept you, then that's their stuff, not your stuff. So release that need for fear. Release that need for lack of self-confidence or lack of self-esteem or having them esteem, where you only feel good about yourself when you're doing what other people think you ought to be doing. Do what you think you ought to be doing, and you'll have self-esteem. Seek your own counsel, validate yourself, fulfill your own expectations, make a positive difference in the world, do no harm, and do right. And you'll be far better off than to live in fear. And I won't live in fear. I absolutely will not live in fear. And I get off on rambling a lot and bring in doomsday prophecies. You know, I grew up with doomsday prophecies. As Jehovah's Witness, you know, the end was always coming, it was always around the corner, yada, yada, yada. And I, you know, it just, that's why I don't put a lot of stock in any of this stuff that you hear out there. Oh, you know, the world's going to end in, you know, 2012 or Y2K or all this stuff, you know, it's just baloney. Just move through your life, walking your path, making a positive difference, and you'll be much more happy. Much happier than that. Do we have anybody else that wanted a card at all?
Certainly not that I've seen. Bridget made a little comment. I hope you don't mind me sharing this on audio, Bridget. She says, I hated stepping on cracks. My mother ended up with back problems. I blamed myself for a long time for breaking her back. You know? Oh, gee, there was a saying when I was a kid about don't step on a crack, you'll break your mother's back. And it's all those silly things that we say to ourselves as kids, and even nursery rhymes. Oh my God, some of them are just horrible.
They are.
You know, I mean, and when you really stop to think about what those are, you would never say them again. Well, for me, I refused to read nursery rhymes to my kids when they were growing up. We found so many other greater books to read than nursery rhymes, but they would still go to school and hear them from other kids or the teachers and stuff, and I'd be debriefing them every night at the supper table. No, that they don't know what they're talking about. Those are terrible things, you know. Or those prayers that you say when you go to bed at night, if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Is that one? It's just evil. It's terrible nonsense to say these things. So if we can really become more aware, poor Bridget, and I feel for you, Bridget, because those things, I know exactly what you mean. You know, we do grow up, and if you put any thought into it, you just stop doing that. And you make your own decisions about who you are and the self-creation of yourself. But, yeah, there's a lot of stuff. We're debriefing ourselves constantly, so.
All right, we're going to wrap the show up. Program, I got to click on the show. It's not a show, it's a program. I think that just stuck with my early days of doing Paranexus Universe, and years ago, that was a show. This is a program, an educational program. So anyway, tonight we have discussed a number of things. What it takes to be great as a world, as a human race. We had some comments on the new zodiac signs, for whatever that was worth. We talked about evolution. Attitude, disposition, energy shifts, and new chapters. Talked about the law of control, and talked about the past, present, and future, among other things. So, and fear. We just talked about fear. So, I hope that some of these things have been of value to you, and if you like them, and you know, share with others, let other people know, and invite them to listen to the program too. If we're going to make a positive difference in this world, we've got to spread this around, because frankly, you know, the tenets of metaphysical humanism is such a healthy spiritual philosophy. It's, you know, among the healthier spiritual philosophies on the planet. And if people would just live by them, the world would instantly improve if they would just do that. So appreciate everybody joining us tonight in the live program, those listening to the archives. Thanks to Dr. Hunter and to Michael for being part of this. And we'll look forward to talking with you again next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.